What guardrails do we have established that make what we create actually original and novel? Is human creativity simply a lifetime of our cameras, our eyes, taking in images and then spitting back out our interpretation of them? And then how far apart and how different from that is what Ada is doing? And that's a hard question to answer. Again, these are pretty deeply philosophical questions about AI, and they're going to deeply affect how human beings use the technology, and certainly how businesses use the technology, and we use the technology as marketers. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, today we're going to dive into a pretty deeply philosophical question that's crucial for the future of AI, and especially creatives who are using AI, like I'm assuming many of you are in the marketing world. And this is the question of whether or not AI can in fact be creative. Can AI generate novel, original thoughts, ideas, pieces of artwork, which is what we're going to talk about particularly today, or specifically products, etc.? Today's episode is inspired by some news in a recent BBC article that was shared in today's Rundown.ai newsletter about the world's first ultra-realistic humanoid robot artist, Ada, AI-DA, clever little naming convention there. She's been making headlines globally at the UN, and just recently, last week, her art was featured in a Sotheby's auction for digital art, and she painted a portrait of Alan Turing titled AI God, which is honestly a pretty cool name. But perhaps even crazier news is that the painting sold for $1.1 million at the auction, despite having an estimated value initially of only $120,000 to $180,000. Interestingly enough, this is not the first international incident for Ada, international drama that she's been involved in anyway. In 2021, she was apparently detained by Egyptian border guards who were suspicious that her technology or her robotics may in fact be espionage or spy equipment. Apparently, it required some diplomacy on the part of the British embassy to get the Egyptian government to release Ada. So Ada has had apparently a pretty wild ride over the last couple of years. Ada is a collaborative project between researchers at Oxford University and the University of Leeds, and was originally created in 2019 by Aidan Meller. Ada is built using various physical components, including cameras for her eyes for visual capture. She now has a robotic arm for drawing and painting, and of course, AI algorithms and a AI model that take in visual data inputted from her cameras and, among other things, plots it into coordinates for the creation of her artwork. In the case of the Turing portrait that was auctioned at Sotheby's, this is the process for which Ada used to create it, and I'll leave it to you to kind of determine how much creativity or originality is generated here. I'll also show you the painting as well. I'll go ahead and share my screen for anybody who's watching along on video. Kind of creepy and terrifying in some ways, but, you know, interesting and artistic in others. I'll let you decide whether or not you think it's good. But the process works by having Ada's software analyze a photograph of Turing in this instance, and the system then produced 15 unique separate paintings of different facial features. And then after that, the robot selected three of those portraits, as well as a depiction of the bomb machine, excuse my ignorance if I'm mispronouncing that, but that was one of the devices created to decode and decrypt the codes that were being sent during World War II by the Enigma machine by Alan Turing. And apparently then those elements from those images were digitally combined using Ada's language model. And the final piece was then created using a 3D printer, a textured 3D printer, and then also assistants from the studio who worked on the canvas and creating the canvas. So not very straightforward process and pretty convoluted as far as, you know, Ada looking at images of Turing and doing her own creative interpretation of what he looks like. Definitely check out the links in the show notes for more details on the process. New York Times in this case did a step-by-step through those steps that we just went through. For another example of how her creations are made, she has a different category of paintings that are somewhat more geometric and quote unquote prism-like, according to the Time article linked in the show notes as well. And for these prism-like paintings, researchers at Oxford actually plot the coordinates from her drawings that she made originally onto a Cartesian plane, basically a fancy word for an XY axis and a scatter plot. And then they run them through a neural network to generate the paintings. And the neural network kind of has some determination on the outcome of what those paintings looks like, depending on what neural network you run it through, apparently. And this is kind of where we arrive at the core question of this episode, is what Ida is doing, or Ada, excuse me, if I keep switching pronunciation on that. Is that original? Is that creative? And part of the issue is somewhat a lack of transparency and understanding of what is actually happening functionally when Ada is painting. There's a very in-depth paper linked in the show notes that explores this question and argues that Ada is not actually truly accomplishing original creativity, at least not in a way that we can understand given the information from the creators. The paper argues that the way Ada is presented can often be somewhat misleading, not very transparent, stating that all that's really happening is you're having cameras capturing an image, you're feeding those images into pre-programmed algorithms, human-programmed algorithms, for example, Ida's large language model or the neural networks that are doing the Cartesian scatter plotting, and then simple mechanical execution using a system of robotics that actually do the physical creating of the object. So the question being, did Ida do anything in her own on her own creatively? And according to the paper, likely not. At one time in the process, the scatter plot or images that were being generated by Ada were even painted over using oil paint by a woman named Susie Emery. So at the end of the day, this Susan Emery woman had a good deal of creative control over how the final painting looked. So it's not entirely clear or, again, transparent if that's how these Turing paintings were created that were just auctioned. And additionally, the robotic arm was only added as recently as 2022, apparently. And before that, anything that was being created was simply a product of what the cameras and Ada's eyes had captured. So we're not really here to debate whether or not Ada is, in fact, demonstrating creativity or originality or AGI. I think probably not, until at least it becomes a little more clear what the process is and to what degree human input is still involved, as far as the algorithms, the guardrails that are being applied, the approval of the final artwork or the approval of the final creation, the decision on whether or not it's finished or not, all of those very somewhat human things. And unfortunately, I don't think the question of whether or not AI can be creative is going to be answered by Ada at this point, given the somewhat convoluted way in which she's generating her paintings. But between the advancements in robotics and generative AI models, as well as the creativity with which these models and agents are being built and coded from a software standpoint, who knows? It could only be a matter of time before we do have truly creative AI among us. I think there are still plenty of people who don't see that happening, especially in the creative spaces. I tend to still believe it will happen, probably in a way that we don't really understand and maybe not expect, maybe not in a traditionally human cognitive way. But I think it really comes down to what is input into the system and how does that compare to how human cognition is formed as far as guardrails. What guardrails do we have established that make what we create actually original and novel? Is human creativity simply a lifetime of our cameras, our eyes taking in images and then spitting back out our interpretation of them? And then how far apart and how different from that is what Ada is doing? And that's a hard question to answer. Again, these are pretty deeply philosophical questions about AI, and they're going to deeply affect how human beings use the technology, and certainly how businesses use the technology, and we use the technology as marketers. If you've learned anything from this story about Ada, I think it's that transparency into the mechanisms of these AI models is crucial, and that's certainly a theme we've talked about on several episodes. And as far as we know so far, the big leaders in the field are being pretty transparent, relatively transparent, and ideally we will know if what we're seeing or what we have at our disposal as far as AI is in fact AGI. We'll know how capable it is and how dangerous it is as well. But as marketers and creatives go, AI still needs us, so that's good news. What's also pretty clear examining this Ada story is that there is still human input into the process, probably too much in this case to make it entirely autonomous, entirely AGI or creative. But what happens when an algorithm or a model is simply given computer use in a general or at least somewhat general neural network or set of guidelines and left to its own devices, simply told, here are the tools you have at your disposal, given a framework with which to relate things and apply context to things. Again, who knows exactly how that compares to the framework that we're given or that we operate under. But what happens when that AI then just decides one day after sitting dormant for a day or two, maybe opens Canva or it opens Photoshop and it starts creating based on what it sees or what it learns from the internet? It gets pretty hard to determine whether or not that's creative agency. I tend to believe it is. Okay, that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated and is so super helpful to the show. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you get notified each day when the episode drops. So until next time, and as always, thanks for joining me, and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.